constantly made aware that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we ought to glorify God in our spirit and in your body, which are God's. And oftentimes we hear a lot of preaching, and I'm not opposed to it. Actually, I do a lot of it on glorifying God in your spirit. But God wants us to glorify Him in our bodies as well. And it's going to be very difficult to do that if we abuse these bodies. And of course, I understand there's more ways to abuse our bodies than the things we eat. We have to be cautious with to get a little exercise. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth a little. And some people look at that and say, well, if it only profits a little, I'm going to do it a little. Well, then do it a little. Amen. Some people do it and don't do it at all. A little bodily exercise go a long way in helping. And I understand that some people have restrictions in what they can eat or the physical activities they can do. But we all ought to take into account to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We ought to take into account that we only get one body in this life. And if we abuse this body, we may not be able to carry out all that God has for us to reach the fullest that He has for us in this life. So take good care of your body. It's very important. We don't want to get too legal about it, and I don't think that we've done that at all. We've just trying to raise some awareness that it's good to take care of your body. It's good to take care of your body because it is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's the vehicle in which we have to serve God. When we pray, I would say that most of us, when we kneel or bow around the table to pray to give God thanks for the food, we always ask Him to use it for the nourishment of our bodies, and our bodies for what? His service. For His service. And so we want to keep that in mind. James chapter number 4 tonight. It sure is good to see you in church, and I want to talk with you a little bit out of these first 10 verses of James chapter number 4. Thank you for praying for me. Last couple of days, I've just had a little stiffness in my back. And as much as I'd like to tell you, it wasn't because I was abusing my body. I can't stand here and tell you that. It was because I'm hard-headed. And sometimes hard-headedness can lead to hard-heartedness, and I don't want that to happen. And so I want to be sensitive to what God is telling me. And you know, as the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, I want you to know your body speaks to you too. And that's some of the things that Brother Bob has brought out that I've really enjoyed, is to learn how to take messages from your body. Your body will tell you something. There's signs that your body will tell you. It'll tell you when you're tired. It'll tell you when you need rest. It'll tell you when you need to relax. It'll tell you when you need to slow down. It'll tell you when you need to change your diet. It'll change you when you need to do some things and be active to stimulate your body. Send signals. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about sending a signal, but it's a different kind of signal. I want to talk to you about prayer. And I want you to, as we're going to read the first 10 verses of James chapter number 10. And so I'm going to ask you to stand just for a moment, if you would, out of reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I want to read these first 10 verses and out of James chapter 4, and then I want to come over and read one verse out of James chapter 5. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Let's read them together. You read silently as I read aloud. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, or in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now go over, if you would, to chapter number 5, and let's look at verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this time you've given us together. In these few moments now that we have your Word open before us, I pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit to deliver to the people what you've delivered to me. And so I pray that you would fill these people with your Holy Spirit, that they may be Spirit-filled listeners as I preach your Word full of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that every heart would be stirred, not just stirred, but stirred to change for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about how to get your prayers answered. Now, everybody in here wants to get their prayers answered. I understand that. That's one of the motivations to pray, is to see our prayers answered. But I want to talk to you about effectual, fervent prayer that avails much. Notice in verse number 16 again, it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I believe that everybody in here would like to pray prayers that avail much. You don't want your prayers to be just halfway, or get half done, or make it halfway to heaven, or get half of what you ask for. You want much to avail from your prayer life. And I do too. That's only natural. And so I want to take these first 10 verses out of James, and I want to show you from the Bible. It's very clear. It's laid out very simple. What James said that needs to be done in order to get your prayers answered. The first thing we'll do is we'll look at verse number 1 and 2, and we'll see how that here is a man in verse 1 and 2 that's described as a man who is struggling. And he's struggling to do it himself. And so he doesn't pray. Notice what the scripture says in the latter part of verse number 2. It says, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. So here's a man not praying. And we're going to go back to that in just a moment. All right? Now, sitting in church on a Wednesday night, you would think, well, surely everybody in prayer meeting prays. Well, sometimes. Sometimes. But I would say that probably there's been a space of time, a period of time in all of our lives that we've gone dry in the prayer life. And we've not prayed. And so the reason that we didn't get our prayers answered is because they were unasked. Unasked prayers are always unanswered prayers. Now, you want to get your prayers answered. I want to get my prayers answered. Now, here's a man that doesn't ask. Look at it again. One more time at verse 2. It's hard to imagine that there's people, the latter part of verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. You're not going to, listen, your prayers are not going to be answered if they're not asked. Now, why would a person quit praying? Well, we're going to focus in on that in verse 1 and 2. Then I want you to look in verse number 3. Here's a man that asks, but he doesn't receive. All right, look at what it says in verse number 3. Ye ask and receive not. So this is not unasked prayer. This is unanswered prayer from a selfish man. See, he's asking, but he's asking wrong. Look at what it says in verse number 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust, in verse 3. And so the first is unasked prayers from a struggling man. And then you have unanswered prayer from a selfish man who's asking amiss. You see that? And we're going to talk about these two individuals, all right? And I think all of us have been that individual at some point in our life, all right? I don't think there's anybody in here, no matter how spiritual you may appear to be, that could say, "Preacher, I've always prayed." I think that there's been dry spells in our prayer lives, and we haven't asked, and that's why you don't get prayers answered. God just doesn't answer prayers. They must be asked. What did Jesus say? "Ask and you shall receive." Don't expect to receive. Isn't that what he said in Matthew 7? "Ask and you shall receive." Amen. Everyone that asketh what? Receiveth. But you've got to ask first. All right? And so you have not because you ask not. And then he said, when you ask, your prayers will go unanswered if you're selfish, if you ask amiss. And I think all of us would have to again say, "I'm guilty. I become selfish in my prayer sometimes, and I don't really consider God's will." One of the first things that Jesus taught when he taught about prayer, and I want you to hold your place in James 4. We'll come right back there, but turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 11, one of the first things that Jesus taught his disciples, and I find this very interesting, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus and they made this statement to him in Luke chapter 11 in verse number 1, if you would look there. And the Bible says it came to pass, I mean Luke 11, verse number 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, I find that very interesting. You know, the disciples at this point had seen Jesus do a lot of things. And they didn't say, "Lord, teach us to do miracles. Lord, teach us to teach like you teach. Teach us to walk on water." Amen. "Teach us to do this." They said, listen, they understood there was something about being in the presence of Jesus Christ when he was praying that put a deep hunger in their bosom. "Lord, teach us to pray like that." Amen. "Teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples to pray." And notice what the Lord Jesus, and we're very familiar with this, not going to spend time here, but I want you to learn one of the first lessons of getting your prayers answered. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm just going to continue to pray like I want and how I want and when I want, and I'll get my prayers answered." I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't guarantee that. You see, God has a divine order. God has a purpose and a way that he wants things done. And God is a God of order. You see, that would be like saying, "Well, you know, you just get to heaven any way you want. I think I'm just going to try to get to heaven my way and just count on that." I wouldn't count on it. God has a way to get to heaven, and there's only one way. You see, God has a way he wants people to pray, and God has a way that will get his attention in prayer. And so I want you to understand that. Sometimes I think that we think God is some glorified Santa Claus or, you know, some person that works for some charity organization, some glorified giver who just passes out the blessings no matter what. Brethren, that's not the God of heaven. Now that may have become the world's God, but that's not the God of heaven. That may be the God of many people's mentality that they have conjured up, but that's not the God of the Bible. And so let's see how God said do it, and we can learn how to pray. Surely if the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," we should ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so you know what he said. He said in verse number 2, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.'" What's that next phrase there? "Thy will be done." So we don't get to praying about our will. You ask, as we go back to James chapter 4, and you have not because you ask amiss. You want your will. You want God to conform to your will when God says you need to conform to my will. See, the first Adam said, "Not thy will, but my will be done." Got him in trouble, didn't it? But the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And because of that, heaven is open to all who will come through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's a way to pray that gets God's attention and that gets your prayers answered, all right? And so we see, first of all, two negatives. We have the unasked prayer. Let's talk about that for a moment. Why would men quit praying? Why would you quit praying? Why would I quit praying? Why do people quit praying? Because we become dependent on ourselves. We think, I've got this. Notice if you would in verse 1 and 2. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire, or covet is really that word desire. It's the same as covet. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You can't do it. You can scheme. You can try your hardest. You can work 20 out of 24 hours a day. But there's just some things that only the God of heaven can do. You listening? And so this is what people do when they begin to rely on the energy of the flesh. I can do this. I can preach without praying. I can sing without praying. I can witness without praying. I can learn from the Bible without praying. I can teach my Sunday school class without praying. You can. But it's never going to be with the anointing, and it's never going to be with the results that God can give when we begin to pray. He said, now you can do this. And you can just hustle and bustle, and there'll be wars, and there'll be power struggles among people within the church. Hey, he's talking to Christians here. James is talking to Christians. He's writing to the brethren. And he said, now, brethren, he said, you can do it yourself. You can do it in the energy of the flesh. You can be like that little boy that's pushing the big rock up the hill. And his dad's standing at the bottom of the hill, and he makes it about two or three steps up the hill, and he's grunting, and man, he is pushing and pushing. And he gets about three or four steps ahead of his dad, and he's huffing and puffing. And his dad said, son, are you using all of your strength? Yes, sir, I'm using all my strength. He said, all of it? He said, yes, sir. He said, no, you're not. You haven't used my strength. My strength is your strength. You see, God is our strength. Isn't that what Psalm 46 says? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so we can try to do all that life demands in the energy of the flesh if we choose, and God will allow that. And we can be like verse 1 and 2. Warring in our members, tired, wore out, lusting, scheming, everything in the energy of the flesh. But let me tell you what the end result always is. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. And cannot obtain. Why? You have not because you ask not. You've been trying to do it all yourself. You haven't taken time to pray and to get a hold of the God of heaven and to get Him involved in your need and in your project or your ministry, in your situation. Brethren, this is where it's at. God help me as the pastor. God help you. God help us as Christians not to believe that we can do God's work without God's power. We need God's power, and God's going to give His power to a people that will pray and seek His face. You see, verse 1 and 2? It's the unasked prayer of a struggling man. I'm going to do this. I've got this. I'll take care of this. I got this. And you know what? Sometimes it comes from people who are hard workers, who are achievers, who are successful, and they think, well, you know what? I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done that. I'll do this. Don't fall into that trap. It can happen. Can it happen, church? Has it happened, church? Yeah. Yes, it has to all of us. And so let's be careful, all right? All right? Let's remember the Bible says that we are to pray about what? Everything. Is that what Philippians 4 teaches? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. That's really what Paul was saying there. So we need to pray about everything. You say, well, preacher, I'm gonna just pray about the big stuff. I'm not going to ask God to sweat the big stuff. God wants us to pray about everything. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So don't let any prayer go unasked. Because if it goes unasked, I will guarantee you it will go unanswered. Number two, we have not only the unasked prayer, but we have the prayer that is unanswered because it comes from the selfish man. Here's a man, look at verse number three. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You're missing it. You're not seeking God's will. You're seeking your will. You're wanting God to conform to what you want. You don't want to conform to what God wants. And so he said, when you pray that way, you're not going to get your prayers answered. And he said, this is why. Because you become adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. Now what does this mean? Why did the Holy Spirit of God tell James to put this here? Because when people start living for themselves, and we're talking about Christian people, and their heart's devotion is not to the Lord, they're not devoted to the Lord, they want what they want. I want to live my life, I want to do it my way. The world has kind of stolen my heart, and I want to kind of do it the way the world does it. And God said, I'm not going to give you power. I'm not going to give you strength. I'm not going to give to you for you to give to the world. It's not going to happen. You say, oh, that's unfair. Well, let me ask it this way then. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. The rest of you either are single or ashamed. All right. Now, let's just suppose that your mate, now if you're saved, are you a part of the bride of Christ? Yes. Yes. All right? The bride of Christ. And Paul wrote that the bride of Christ, he said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin. I want you to be loyal and faithful to the bridegroom. Right? That's what he said. And so let's say that you're married and your wife comes to you and says, listen, I'm seeing another man and I think we're going to go out of town this weekend. Can you give me some things, maybe money, a ride, and maybe some direction on our trip? I'm sure you're going to sell out so you can pay for that trip, right? Well, if you don't, that would be unfair, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be unfair if you didn't give so that they could take that trip? Then don't say it's unfair when God doesn't want to give to someone who's in love with the way of the world. Instead of in love with Christ, wants to use their energy for the world instead of to serve God, and God's not going to hear and answer that kind of prayer. Now listen to me. The Bible's always right. And so sometimes prayer doesn't get answered because unanswered prayer comes from the heart of selfishness. God, I want this so I can do this, and I want this so this can happen for me. And God said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to continue to bless you so you can use your energy and your means and your possessions for the world. That would be like you, again, sanctioning and funding a relationship of infidelity. You wouldn't do that. Neither does God. And so he says here in verse number three, you ask and receive not. Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship of the world? Now that's not talking about being a friend to sinners. This is talking about the world system. Jesus was a friend of sinners, and aren't you glad he was? Amen. This is talking about the world system that hates the Lord Jesus Christ and hates the plan of God. That goes against the plan of God. You know that system that says you're number one. Are you number one? Are you? If you are, where is Jesus in that? See, don't buy into that system. Don't buy into that system. The world has a system that is antichrist. And the spirit of antichrist is already at work in this old world, brethren. I mean, it is in full scale. And so we need to be aware of that spirit, and we need to turn from that spirit of Antichrist and let God lead us, and pray for the Spirit of God to lead us, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So number one, unasked prayer. You have not because you ask not. Number two, unanswered prayer, because you ask amiss. You're just wanting stuff so you can live better and be better and do better and just all about you. Well, the Bible teaches we ought to pray for God's will to be done. That was one of the first things that Jesus said. Thy will be done. That's the way Christians ought to pray. How is that done, preacher? This is where we're going to close. This is unhindered prayer. He begins to say, you want your prayers answered? You want to pray in a way that will avail much? Follow this recipe. Here it goes now. You ready? Write it down. Hey, it's guaranteed. You say, preacher, can you guarantee it? You better believe I can, because it's based right on the Word of God. And as I've said, the Word of God is always right. It's never wrong. Never. Verse 5. Number one, you want your prayers answered. You want your prayers to avail much. You've got to be sensitive now to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he said in verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Do you think God just said that for no reason? Do you think God placed His Holy Spirit in us for so we could do our way? No, God placed His Holy Spirit in us so that we could do God's way. And so he said here, you've got to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Spirit of God want to do? I think this verse of Scripture is very, very interesting. Look what it says. That the Spirit of God that dwelleth in us, does the Spirit of God dwell in every believer? Romans 8:9 says it does. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Every believer has the Spirit of Christ. Every believer. So if you're here tonight and you have the Spirit of God in you, you're saved, you have the Spirit of God, and now here's what the Bible wants for your life and my life. It wants us to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit has this passion, even to the point of being envious. Why? Because He wants only Jesus to be exalted. The Spirit of God's ministry is to exalt Jesus Christ. And when you see a Spirit-filled Christian, they're always exalting Jesus Christ. One of the greatest ways you can tell if a man, a woman, or any person is filled with the Holy Spirit is when they are exalting Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God always exalts Jesus Christ. Always. And so here, the Bible says, be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. A devotion for Him. You want your prayers answered? Delight in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Is that what the Scripture teaches in Psalm 37? It sure is. And so here we have step number one, be sensitive. Be sensitive. Are you listening to that still small voice on the inside? Are you listening? When He tells you to pray, do you pray? When He tells you to give, do you give? When He tells you to go, do you go? When He tells you to read, do you read? Or do you do what you want to do? Do I do what I want to do? If we're going to get our prayers answered, we need to be sensitive and let the Spirit of God lead us. You say, it's hard, preacher. Well, it's not as hard as we make it. It's not as hard as we make it. How many of you went to work today? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. I would say throughout your work day, you probably had no less than 6 commands from someone who was either someone who was laterally with you or above you. Did you do them? If you didn't, you'd probably come home a little early. Whether you wanted to or not, amen? It's not as hard to follow commands as we try to make it. It's really not. It's not that hard. God's commandments are not grievous to the Spirit-filled person. And so be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number two, look at verse number 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So be submissive. Not only be sensitive, but be submissive. Did you see that God resisteth the proud? Isn't that something? You know, many of us, when we get to verse number 7, we see that we ought to resist the devil. Can I tell you that verse number 6 teaches that God will resist you if you're proud? Verse number 7 is not the only verse that talks about resisting. Verse number 6 talks about resisting too. I'm a little more concerned about verse number 6 than I am verse number 7. I don't want God resisting me. But the Bible says if I have a proud heart and I'm not submissive to what God tells me to do, not only will my prayers go unanswered, God will resist me. Is that what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. And so I don't want that to happen, and you don't want that to happen. So be submissive. When we are sensitive and listen to the Holy Spirit, be submissive and do what the Holy Spirit says do. Follow God's leading. It's a great way to get your prayers answered. Be submissive. Be submissive. And then not only are we to be sensitive in verse number 5 and be submissive in verse number 6, but look at verse number 7. Be steadfast. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, why would God put resist the devil right in there where he's talking about answering our prayer and our prayers availing much? Well, I don't know about you, but I could say, well, I'm going to be careful here. Almost every time I go to pray, I don't know, this list of things to do pops up in my mind. You know, man, I need to cut the grass. I need to visit this individual. Man, I forgot to call so-and-so. I forgot to do this. And here I am thinking out of this side, trying to pray, and out of this side, all this stuff. The Bible says you got to resist the devil. When you go to pray, it's warfare. Amen. It's warfare. And it's not just a heavenly warfare with the angels, and we've seen that from Daniel, and there's other scriptures that teach that. It is a heavenly warfare, but can I tell you, it's a warfare that we're involved in too. And we have to resist the devil. And sometimes when you pray, you have to talk to the devil. Y'all don't like to talk to the devil. Well, you might ought to get used to it. Amen. You have to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Plead the blood of Christ over your mind. I mean, all kinds of stuff will pop up in your mind while you're trying to pray, and it diverts and it hinders. And we have to say, God, cleanse me and protect me and put a covering over me, Lord, and help me to focus. All right? You want your prayers answered? Right here it is. Number one, be sensitive. Verse number 5, the Spirit of God wants your life and my life and all God's children's life. He wants our lives to glorify Jesus. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. Devotion. Sensitivity. Number 2, submission. Be humble. God, I need you. I can't do this. I don't want to be like that person in verse 1 and 2. That I can work harder and I can do more and I'll achieve this, I'll obtain this on my own. No, you won't. No, you won't. God, I can't do it without you. I can't do anything without you, Lord. You help me. See, that gets God's attention. Amen. You know who God's doing business for? Those who mean business. Let me say that again. God does business for those who mean business. You see, I fear that when we were talking about fasting and praying, that some folks got this idea, well, you know, I'm going to fast and I'm going to do God a favor, and that's going to get heaven's attention, and God's going to do something special for me. That's not what fasting's about. Fasting, showing God, I mean business. Amen? I mean business. I'm serious about this. I'm submissive. I'm steadfast. Let's look at 4. I got one more. The fourth thing. Look at verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Amen. He said, I'm just waiting on God to get close to me, preacher. You get close to Him first. Isn't that what the Bible says? It didn't say God will draw nigh to you. It said you draw nigh to God. You make the first step. You get in the closet of prayer and say, God, I just want to love you like I ought to love you. I want to serve you like I ought to serve you. I want to be the person that you saved me to be. That gets God's attention. Draw nigh to God, and then the Bible says God will draw nigh to you. Now, here's some ways to draw nigh to God. All right, you want to get your prayers answered? Then cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. not only cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, I believe, speaks of things you do. Purify your heart, things that you think and say. Don't be double-minded. And so he said, you've got to be separated. You got to live a Christian life. Amen. How many parents in here? Raise your hand. Keep them up. How many of you? You can put them down. How many of you, when your children just doesn't do anything you say do? I mean nothing. Just what they want to do and how they want to do it. And then at the end of the day, come up and say, Mommy, Daddy, will you go to the store and buy me an ice cream? You say, oh, yeah, come here, you sweet little thing. We're going to buy you two. Amen. You say, well, you're a preacher, I do that. You do? I feel sorry for you. Actually, I feel more sorry for your children. Because you're teaching them something that's going to harm them the rest of their life. You know what happens when your children don't do what you've told them to do and they're constantly disobedient and they are deliberately disobeying your rules? I want an ice cream. You're not getting ice cream, boy. You're mean, preacher. That's not mean. You're not getting an ice cream. Not only are you not getting an ice cream, go to your room. I got something to give you. But it's not going to be an ice cream. It's going to be an ice cream. Amen. And yet somehow we look at our Heavenly Father and we think that He ought to be different than that. I'm not going to do what you say, God. I'm not going to obey your commandments, but you give me what I ask for. It's not going to happen. You want your prayers answered, right? Yes, you do. We all do. I want to help you get your prayers answered. Now, I'm going to close with this final thing. Let's review here. Number one, be sensitive. When the Spirit of God speaks now, pay attention. Pay attention. Let God lead your life. There's no other way but to trust and obey. What a great way to live life. Number two, be submissive. Once God tells you what to do, do it. As He speaks to you, do what God says. Don't be afraid to do God's will. You'll benefit from it every time. And so will I. Number three, be steadfast. Got to resist the devil now. The devil's not going to sit back and let God just usher in the hands full of purpose and the showers of blessing. He's going to do everything he can. He's our adversary. He's our enemy. And he's going to try to thwart what God is doing in our lives. And then number four, as we just said, be separated. Then finally, verse number 9 and 10, and this is where we'll close, be sincere. And I'm not going into detail, just read it. Our time is up. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What's he saying? You know, there's a time for laughter. I'm for laughing. I'm for having a good time. But brethren, life is not all about having a good time. There's a time and a season for everything under heaven. There is a time to laugh. But now there's a time to mourn too. There's a time to mourn and to weep and to get a burden. There's a time for reaping. Seeing people get saved. Amen. Well, we love that. But you know, there's a time for sowing. There's a time for going from door to door, and there's a time for giving out gospel material, and there's a time for praying and prevailing in praying. See, there's a time. And here he said, you want your prayers answered, you got to understand that there's a time and a purpose and a season, you see. It's not all about getting everything we want for God, for ourselves. It's about doing God's will. Let's stand to our feet. You want to get your prayers answered? I know you do. I know you do. And I do too. Well, the Bible is always right. All the promises of God are in Him, yea, and amen. And so here's the biblical instruction of how to get your prayers answered. Number one, you got to ask. You have not because you ask not. So unasked prayers are definitely unanswered prayers. Number two, don't be selfish or your prayers will go unanswered. Gimme, 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 gimme. Now, there's nothing wrong with give me when you sought God's will, because what did he say? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's the very next petition? Give us this day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with asking for something as long as you've put God's will in front of that. You want your will to reconcile with God's will. All right, let's not hinder our prayers. Let's be submissive, sensitive, separated, clean, holy. God honors that. Let's pray. Father, help this pastor and these people. God, help us to know what it is to have our prayers to avail much. It would be a tragedy to get to heaven and see all the prayers that could have been answered, all the things that could have been done had they been asked. But because they were unasked, they were unanswered and undone through our lives. God, help us not to live that regret. Lord, help us to look to these scriptures in the days to come and to meditate on what's been said here tonight and to understand there's a way to get your attention, to get our prayers heard and answered. And I pray that we would follow this scriptural teaching, that we could see our prayers answered in the days to come. We pray for thy will to be done. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask two simple questions. Number one, is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, and tonight God helped me, and I want to use what's been given from the Bible, and I want to apply this to my prayer life. You pray with me that I could do this." Anyone like that tonight? God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. God bless you so much. And I pray that God would help you. I do. Now, is there anyone here tonight that's never been saved? "Preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior." Can I tell you, God wants you to pray. He wants you to pray and cry out to Him for mercy. He'll hear your prayer. He'll answer. And you can be saved by His grace. Anyone like that here tonight? "Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me?" Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Anyone tonight? Anyone? I just want to pray for you. God, have mercy on your soul. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, please don't die in your sin and go to hell. It's not worth it. Nothing's worth it. Anyone? Now, Father, you've seen the hands that were lifted for those who have asked for prayer, and I pray for us, each one. God, my hand is up. I just want to pray in a way that's pleasing to you, that gets your attention, that gets you involved, that has your will as a part of reconciling with my will so that your work can go forward and your will can be done. Dismiss us now with your blessing upon us. Be with us and help us to live our lives in a way that would exalt Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night. Don't forget homecoming Sunday. Come, bring